Okay, yesterday we looked at the first two verses of the first chapter of the Dhammapada. We could probably have spent the rest of the retreat doing those two verses. I'm sure you had lots to talk about in your discussion groups. These verses, as we saw, point to the centrality of mind, of consciousness. It's mind that determines our happiness. It's mind that determines our suffering. More specifically, actions that stem from a pure mind, a mind filled with generosity, love, wisdom and sorrow, lead in the end to the greatest happiness, the greatest fulfillment, liberation, nirvana, enlightenment. On the other hand, an impure mind, actions that proceed from an impure mind, one filled with greed, hatred, delusion and so on and so forth, leads to suffering, restriction, a state of toil, like the wheel remorselessly following the hoof of the ox. So the Dhammapada begins with the Buddha pointing to the mind, pointing to our mind. It's as if he's saying, it's all there. Happiness, suffering, enlightenment, nirvana, ignorance, bondage, it's all there. It's up to you, it's up to me. Nobody else is going to do it for you. It's entirely down to you, entirely down to what you do with your mind. So where does the Dhammapada go next after these two verses? It might be a temptation to draw out the implications of experiences being made up of mind. It might be a temptation to get philosophical and metaphysical. But that isn't actually what happens. The Buddha goes to something after this very gritty indeed, very close to the bone, if you like. He raises the topic of blame and resentment and grudge holding and hatred. So let's hear what the text says. Those who entertain such thoughts as he abused me, he beat me, he conquered me, he robbed me, will not still their hatred. Those who do not entertain such thoughts as he abused me, he beat me, he conquered me, he robbed me, will still their hatred. And I think it's highly significant that after the verses on the centrality of mind, verses that point to the fact that we and only we are responsible for our actions and our well-being, the first thing that the Buddha gives attention to is resentment and blame. It's as if he's saying that if you are in a state of resentment, of blame and grudge holding, you've not actually woken up to the centrality of mind. You have not realised the Buddha's essential message. You may have a lot of knowledge, you might be very good in argument, in debate, you might know all about mind. You might have studied psychology, you might have studied philosophy, you might have studied a lot of Buddhism, whatever. But if there's resentment, grudge holding, blaming, you have not understood, you've not taken in the essential message of the Buddha, the essential message of the Dharma. That state of resentment, of blaming, of grudge holding is such an incredible cop-out. It's the most convenient way of avoiding dealing with ourselves. A very, very convenient way of actually dealing with ourselves. And some people kind of go through life in a state of blame. All their troubles are because of others. I actually know people like this. You know, it's a habitual, it's all because of somebody else. It's all because of something else. Very rarely is there any kind of attention to what's going on in here. So we avoid looking at ourselves, doing anything with our lives. We have a kind of reason not to. We've been abused, beaten, robbed. They're all reasons for not doing anything with our lives. Now, it might not be as extreme as being abused and beaten or robbed, but it can certainly be the case that there might some falling out has gone on, or somebody's made a mistake in relation to us. And the blame, the grudge, kicks in. Sometimes we can be very, very touchy, very oversensitive. Some people are very habitually oversensitive and touchy. And it's like nobody that anybody does is good enough. So there's always a reason for not dealing with themselves, because the world isn't good enough.